Praise God. Hide me now, even in the fire. Even in the fire. That beautiful song, hide me now under your wings, cover me within your mighty hand. When the oceans rise and thunders roar, I will soar with you above the storm. Father, you are king over the flood, and I will be still and know you are God. Extraordinary faith to say that takes extraordinary faith. And we are in now week four, the final week of our Exploring Faith. And we're looking at Daniel. Daniel chapter 3, verses 1 to 30. And you probably know the story. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. And old King Nebuchadnezzar. God was with them in the fire. This is our final week. We've been discussing and discovering passages throughout the Bible of individuals who exercised extraordinary faith. The first week, Major Donette talked to us about the children of Israel crossing the River Jordan. They had to step out in faith ahead. They had to step out in faith ahead of the ark. Then we were challenged 2 weeks ago to keep our eyes on Jesus through the storms and the boisterous waves of our lives. Step out of the boat and keep our eyes trained on Jesus. Last week, we discovered that we've got to follow him, don't we? Abraham followed the Lord to a land that he didn't know where he was going, but he stepped out in faith. He got out of his comfort zone. He left his country and his father's people, and he followed the Lord. This week, we're looking at how faith can stay strong amidst the trials and fiery temptations of our lives that we all go through. If you've got your Bibles or your Bible apps, turn to Daniel chapter 3 and the 1 to 30 there. If we want to see God's power evident in our lives, we've got to hold strong and trust in him no matter what. We got to hold strong. We have to believe strongly in something. We are willing to pay the cost to remain committed to it. If you believe strongly in something, you're going to pay the price to remain committed to that belief. It's a similar thing to getting healthy. The season of COVID, Donette and I, our health care of our own bodies basically went by the wayside, and we weren't out walking as what we should. It was in the season of the winter where we put our kayaks away, and we weren't eating healthy, and we packed on the COVID calories. I got my eyes tested the other day, and the gal in the office says, Ken, have you gained weight? Well, I think Donette and I have to renew our commitment to getting healthy. We do believe in it. We love the keto eating plan, but you've got to be committed to it. We love getting out and exercising. We went yesterday for a beautiful walk around the neighborhood. It was great. But you've got to be committed to it. We've got to get it. I can't wait to get the kayaks out. You've got to be committed to get out and paddle, right? And if you take those initiatives, you'll get healthy and you'll stay healthy. But you got to be committed to it. And it's just like our faith. It's just like our faith. You see, to be dedicated to something, whether it's a regimen to become healthy or a vibrant faith to grow a deeper connection to God, you can assume it's going to come with a cost. Cost for Donette and I. We can't go out and eat muffins with our coffee. We can't go to the Cinnabon place and have cinnamon buns anymore. We have to eat a little healthier. It's going to come with a cost. And if we want to be committed to that, to either getting healthy or having a vibrant faith, we've got to be committed to that. We have to pay the price. And the Old Testament story gives a story of the three young men who were committed to their faith so much And they were immersed in challenges to their faith in God. It would all began with the traumatic experience of being attacked as a nation. Somewhere between 600 and 585 BC, Babylon attacked the nation of Israel. During that time, the Babylonians took the best and the brightest of people and indoctrinated them into their way of life, into Babylonian culture. Archaeology suggests that 25% of Judah was displaced from Israel. Everything about their way of life was interrupted, from their diet, from what they ate, to what they believed. So it affected everything about their way of life. Everything was changed to fit into the new context of Babylon. The Old Testament book of Daniel clearly describes how hard it was to be in exile. The king of Babylon was named Nebuchadnezzar. We all remember his name, don't we? We read in Daniel chapter 3 how he was exerting his power over the Jewish exiles of the day. Daniel 3, 1 to 6 says this: King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, 60 cubits high, 60 cubits wide, and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then he summoned the satraps, the prefects, the governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials to come to the dedication ceremony of the image that he had set up. So the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials assembled for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they stood before it. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, "Nations and peoples of every language, this is what you are commanded to do. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, zither, lyre, harp, and pipe, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship will be immediately thrown into a blazing furnace." We all know the story, don't we? Nebuchadnezzar raised a golden image, 60 cubits, that's 90 feet high, 6 cubits, 9 feet wide. It was massive, absolutely massive. It was a spectacle, and the king made sure that everybody attended the dedication. And there was a clear command: whenever you hear music, you've got to fall down and worship the golden image. It was not just about religion. It was about allegiance to the king. It was about worship and dedication to someone other than Almighty God, Yahweh. And if you did not obey, you would be thrown into a furnace. This story points to one specific fact, very important fact. We all worship something. We all worship something. Bob Dylan released an album, and I'm showing my age here. I bought the album. I loved it. Back in the late summer of 1979, he released an album called Slow Train Coming. And on that album, there was a song that stated, "Gotta serve somebody." Went like this: you gotta serve somebody. It might be the devil or it might be the Lord, but you gotta serve somebody. We all worship something. The difficulty in living in Babylon during those days and that time, where many Jewish people had worshiped Yahweh and trusted in him alone, they put their faith in Almighty God and him exclusively. But they were being forced to worship something and somebody else. Not only that, if they didn't listen to the command given, their lives would be at stake. And I do believe that's happening in our world today. In some nations across the ocean, there are people dying for their faith. Modern day martyrs. It's going to cost them everything to remain faithful to God. Now, although you and I in this church are not necessarily being forced to bow down before a golden image or an idol, we are being tempted to bow down to other gods in the world. We've all got areas in our life that receive our time, our energy, and our attention and affection. Whatever and wherever the majority of our lives are being focused is a good indication of what we worship. Man goes out and he cleans his car. He meticulously removes every speck of dust from that brand new vehicle. He is bowing down to the idol of his car. Man loves his wife, does everything for her. I love you, honey, but I bow down to Almighty God. I'll still bring you coffee and a kiss in the morning. But you can see where I'm going with this. A person who's been investing all of his life and he has riches beyond riches, his God is money. Within our culture, there's a pressure to bow down to the God of travel, baseball, the God of the bank account, the God of social status, the God of relationships, the God of your career, the God of Instagram and Facebook. We've got people who spend their entire day on Facebook to the exclusion of all others and anybody else. They live their life through Facebook. The expectation is the same. When these gods demand you bow, you bow. No questions asked. And you know what? We do, don't we? Because if we don't, it will cost our reputation. What did I do? Oh, you're not my friend on Facebook anymore. What happened? It'll cost friendships. It'll cost us our comfort. And in the end, one of the greatest idols we serve that keeps us from the true faith is the God of certainty and control. You gotta serve somebody. It might be the devil, or it might be the Lord. Buddy, you're gonna serve somebody. A young man was very eager to grow in his Christian life. He found a piece of paper and he made a list of all the things that he's gonna do for God. He wrote down the things he would give up, the places he would go to minister, the areas of ministry he would enter. He was so excited. He took the list to the church. He put it on the altar. He thought he would feel joy, but instead he felt so empty. So he went home and he started adding things to the list, frantically writing down everything he would do for the Lord and where he would go and where he would minister. And he brought it back and he laid it again the next Sunday on the altar and still went away feeling so empty. He went to a wise old pastor of the church. He told him the situation. And the pastor just said, "My son, take an empty piece of paper and put your name on it. Just sign it and put that on the altar." So he did. And he went away with such joy, such fulfillment that he had given himself all to God. An empty piece of paper. He just signed on the dotted line, "Lord, you fill it out, and I am with you." I am with you. You're going to serve somebody. One of the greatest ways we can commit to an unshakable faith is by placing our name on a blank sheet of paper. And signing our name is a way of telling him we will follow him no matter what, no questions asked. And that's what Abraham did last week. Remember, we talked about Abraham. Left his home, decided to follow God without even knowing where he was going. The destination was unknown. Point two, you see, faith in its simplest form is just trust. It's just trust. The king made a decree that all would bow down when the music played and to worship his massive idol. They were three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who refused to bow down and worship the king's idol. You know why? They knew the God they worshiped is greater than any man-made idol. Is the God you worship greater maybe than the idol of Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or whatever holds sway in your life today? The God they worship could not and would not be superseded by a mere man-made statue. Their allegiance lay with God and God alone. Daniel 3:12-18 says this, "But there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, your majesty." It was reported to him. "They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up." Furious with rage, absolutely furious, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is this true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold that I have set up? Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I have made, well, that's very good. But if you do not worship it, you'll be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter." I love that. I love that. We do not need to defend ourselves before you when we have faith in an almighty God. I can, in my wild imagination, I can almost hear them. "You are a man just like me. You put your pants on one leg at a time, just like I do. We do not need to defend ourselves before you on this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." King Nebuchadnezzar was absolutely incensed. He was furious. He demanded the three young men be thrown into the fiery furnace and as punishment for their refusal to bow down in worship. In reading this passage, you can get the picture of the incredible faith of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Their response to the king was that they trusted that God was able to deliver them from the fire. The key to their statements was, even if God doesn't save us, we will still never bow to a false god. The gospel songwriter Cody Carnes has written a song that echoes these thoughts today. Let me read to you some lines. I won't bow to idols. I'll stand strong and worship you. And if it puts me in the fire, I'll rejoice because you're there too. Hallelujah. I won't be formed by feelings. I hold fast to what is true. If the cross brings transformation, then I'll be crucified with you. Because death is just the doorway into resurrection life. And if I join you in your suffering, then I'll join you when you rise. And when you return in glory with all the angels and all the saints, my heart will still be singing. My song will be the same. O Christ, be magnified. Let his praise arise. Christ be magnified in me. O Christ, be magnified. From the altar of my life, Christ be magnified in me. Can we say that? Can we say that when the fire comes in around and about us in our everyday lives? Can we say that? Christ be magnified in me. I've often said we are here to mirror, we are here also to magnify. And when the fires of life come in and around us, threatening to consume us, people still watch us in the marketplaces of the world and how we respond. We are still to magnify his name. Because in the fires that threaten to consume us, there's another person. Christ is there in the midst. Hallelujah. We've made the statement throughout this series that if we want to see God's power in our lives, you've got to be willing to step out, lay it all on the line, display a radical faith, and to be willing to count the cost of following God no matter what. Jesus actually spoke to this concept in the New Testament as well when he was expounding on what it means to be a true disciple. Luke chapter 9, 22 to 25 says, and he said, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. And he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. I praise God for that thought. Laying it all on the line. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? Jesus began by showing that he himself was willing to pay the cost of remaining faithful. He was rejected and ultimately killed for his commitment to the kingdom of God. Because of this, we can expect to experience similar costs. There are Christians all around the world who are in danger of losing their lives. I said that before. Many do each day for their faith. In fact, right now, there are many more martyrs each year than during the early church's persecution. To Jesus, true faith means being willing to take up our cross daily. In fact, it is in losing our lives for his sake that we actually save our lives. Author Joseph Stowell wrote in his book, and it's called Through the Fire, and it's about the missionary David Livingstone. He says this, I think of David Livingstone, the pioneer missionary to Africa, who walked over 29,000 miles. His wife died early in their ministry, and then he faced stiff opposition from his Scottish brethren. He ministered half blind. His kind of perseverance spurs me on. As I run, I remember the words in his diary. He said this, send me anywhere, only go with me. Lay any burden on me, only sustain me. Sever me from any tie but the tie that binds me to your service and to your heart. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego understood that concept. They held, I believe, the same heartbeat of David Livingstone. The fiery furnace was heated 7 times its normal level because of the king's rage. He was outrageous. They were thrown in. Their faith came at a cost. Daniel 3:24-25 says, "Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, 'Weren't there 3 men that were tied up and thrown into the fire?' They said, 'Oh, certainly, your majesty.' He said, 'Look, I see 4 men walking around the fire, unbound and unharmed. And the fourth looks like the son of the gods. 3 men went in, but there are a fourth in the fire.'" Praise God. Some scholars agree that this is what's called a theophany. It is a physical manifestation of God in the flesh. Some scholars believe in the fourth person in the fire was a pre-incarnate Christ. God, it's interesting to know, God didn't keep them out of the fire. He didn't keep the 3 guys out of the fire. But he was with them in the fire. He did not let them go through it alone. He did not let them go through it alone. Point 3 says, in our greatest time of need, we find that we are not alone. Demonstrated for us, through us throughout the scriptures as a God who is willing to go to the great lengths to rescue his people. In fact, the name given to Jesus at his birth was Emmanuel, God with us. There may be someone here or online this morning that needs to hear that. You may need to hear that. You are not alone. Despite what fire you may find yourself in, you are not alone. He is not somewhere afar off, looking down. And he is as close as your next breath. What if our courage to hold on to our faith in this manner could have the same impact as those 3 Jewish boys? What was the impact of their faith? Look now to chapter 3, Daniel, verse 26. Says, Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out. Come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. It's very interesting to know here the word Nebuchadnezzar used is a specific word for God. He has not used it before. This is the first time King Nebuchadnezzar has used this word. He said, the Most High God, which is Elyon, a king who spent an untold amount of wealth, power, and influence to demand that everybody else worship his image of gold, a golden statue, now proclaims God as Almighty God. The God Most High. Do you want to see the power of God in your life? The kind of power that can make a Babylonian king believe in God? Then you got to step out in faith. Stay true to God no matter what it costs. You've got to step out in faith even if the flames are licking at your boot heels. You've got to step out in faith. I want to give you that opportunity this morning. As we continue to worship here, step out in faith this morning. Because God is with you. No matter what you may be going through, no matter what you may be facing, could be family, finances, it could be health, and the flames are licking at your bootstraps this morning. God is with you. You are not alone. You are not alone. Wondering in the silence of this time, if you would pray this prayer with me, silently in your seat, as I pray through it, pray it for your own heart. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, by your grace, our salvation is free. We don't earn it. We don't have to try. Yet, as we receive that salvation, we recognize that our lives will change and that there will be a cost in our discipleship. It's not the cost of earning your love, which has already been given to us, but is the cost of putting aside our old self so that we might be fully devoted to you. Help me, gracious Lord, to offer more of myself to you. Help me give up those things to which I am clinging. Help me to renounce my sin and turn from it. Help me to let go of the possessions and the securities that keep me from following you with abandon. Oh Lord, may I be more and more your disciple each day, by your grace and for your glory. And in your name I pray. Amen. Amen.